happen, our only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue the worship service by singing Psalm 65, the stanzas 4 and 6. Psalm 65, the stanzas 4 and 6.
Thank you.
congregation, the scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. But first, we have to read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading, the book of Jonah, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? And therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And therefore now, O Lord, take, and I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat under the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what will become of the city. And the Lord God prepared good, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the good, but God prepared a worm, and when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the good, that it was withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the good? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the good, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, a great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we have come together this morning hour to hear what thou hast to say to us by word and spirit. And we pray thee for a blessing in speaking and listening. O Lord, there is no reason in us to be blessed by thee, only to be punished and to be lost. forever. But take reason out of thyself, because thou hast given thy Son as a ransom for many souls. O Lord, may it be that we are gathered together this morning not to hear the history of the Bible, but to be a subject of thy eternal grace and thy eternal pleasure in Christ. O Lord, we became subjects of thy eternal wrath in paradise, and our daily sin increase, and thy wrath against us if we still live for our own account. O Lord, that we may consider what that thy wrath is coming, and that there is no escape outside of Christ. That we may escape for our life, not to escape hell and not to enter heaven, but for thy sake, to fear thee, to honor thee in all thy doings, in Christ Jesus. O Lord, that is not possible on our side. We need thy intervention in Christ to be saved. And we need an application of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to be saved. Reveal thyself to us this morning hour in thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, look upon us in Christ and take away our sin and unbelief, and that we may become what we are, lost sinners ready to the fire, and that our old man may die, because our carnal nature in Adam don't honor thee. O Lord, revive thy people, revive us if we belong to thee. Give a national revival, for it is more than time to work. And thou art going on to fulfill thy eternal pleasure. O Lord, remember the sick and afflicted, the widows and the orphans. Remember Bernard, who has been in hospital again. Be with him, and be with all of us, that all our circumstances may lead to our conversion, to glorify thy holy name for saving our souls. Remember thy covenant people, the Jews. Let them come to thee in Christ, according to thy own promises. Lord, we pray for our government. He is thy servant, and let our rulers fulfill their tasks faithfully. But they are going on in unbelief and terrible sin. Also the house of our Queen, O Lord, the royal members have left thee and served the world. But they are lost forever if they not return to thee in faith and in repentance. Deliver them from sin, and let them fear thee, because thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. O Lord, the world is going down, but thy word will stand forever, and thy kingdom will come for sure. Establish thy kingdom in our country and in the hearts of our rulers, and be with us in speaking and listening. Lord, be with us this day. Be with thy people around the world. Be with everyone who are in trouble of spiritual things. O Lord, reveal thyself to us. Reveal thyself to them. Reveal Christ in our hearts, and establish thy kingdom also in this country. For Jesus' sake we pray thee. Amen. Congregation, before explaining the last part of the story of Jonah, independence of the Lord, we will sing Psalm 38, the stanzas 1 through 4. Psalm 38, the stanzas 1 through 4. Beloved, the last Sunday evening we have thought about the good or the miracle tree of Jonah and Jonah's strange behavior concerning the conversion of the heathen of Nineveh. And Jonah was, we have read it, was angry with God, because God had been so full of mercy about the inhabitants of Nineveh. But Jonah didn't agree with that, and he wishes that Nineveh would be destroyed, including all the living souls therein. And however, Jonah was exceedingly glad of the good because of its shadow. The sun was very hot, and Jonah was sitting under the miracle tree, and he was exceedingly glad of the shadow of that tree. And Jonah's anger was quenched for a moment by the good, but he forgot the God of the miracle, the maker of the good. And Jonah did not set his heart on his creator, but on creation, namely the good. And to speak with all reverence, the Lord knows how to deal with this, doesn't he? For he provided a worm to gnaw through the roots of the good. For it says, "Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land." You can read that in Jeremiah, I think chapter 40 or 46, something. And if you set your heart on money or on material things, people of God, God will provide a mole to plow up your dream garden. Yeah, I once heard of a woman, she had set her heart on a painting she had made by herself. And that painting was hanging on the wall, and while she was looking at her painting, it dropped on the floor and broke to pieces. And God's people must lose their Joseph and Benjamins to learn to depend on God. And then your idolatrous love of creature will wither, even though it may be your own child. And if a congregation idolizes a minister, God will allow him to fall into sin or remove him. Then such a minister resembles Jonah with a good. Yeah, I heard about a minister who had set his heart on money. Yeah, is that possible? Yeah, it's possible. And when one day he had drawn money from the bank, God dealt with him. And what happened? The man came up to him, put the knife to his throat, and extorted his money from him. Yeah, that was the hand of God. Because love of money is a root of all evil, says the word of God. And love of money is one of the sin in Orthodox Reformed circles. And as far as this is concerned, Laban the miser is still very much alive in our circles. But Jonah, like Elijah, lived out of God's hand. Jonah lived on the interest of the heavenly salary. Jonah did not live on the spoil. He did not live on the wealth of the Ninevites, but on divine care and God's providence. And if Jonah had asked for an elaborate meal, he would, I think, certainly have gotten it. But as to this, he was just like Abram, who did not wish to receive anything from the king of Sodom, because he had lifted up his hand to heaven and he lived on what the Lord provided for him. Now, Abram can teach many preachers love money in the wrong way. Love of money is always wrong. It's the root of all evil. And how many churchgoers in our days have lifted up their hands to the molten insurance calf? Oh, if our country does not turn to God like the Ninevites did, the destruction will be complete. Now Jonah was sitting under the gourd and lay down to spend the night under the sheltering leaves. And we do not read that he had thanked the Lord for the miraculous tree. No, Jonah forgot God, the God of life who had performed so many miracles in his life. And if we do not recognize God in the miracle, beloved, it will wither. At least if we fear the Lord. Just look at Jonah. For it says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Yeah, man proposes, but God disposes. Jonah proposes, but God provides a worm. And when Jonah awoke, he was lying on a bed of withered leaves. For it is written that God provides a worm when the sun rose. So that was early in the morning while Jonah was still asleep. And when he awoke, he didn't look up at the roof of leaves. No, but against the bare branches of the withered gourd. Now the gourd, this gourd, yeah, is also a picture of the yam conversion of hypocrites. And these people are converted when they breathe a sigh and shed a tear. But when God converts his people, it takes a whole life before they have lost every ground they rest on. It happens in a moment, in the justification. Oh yeah. But in further life of grace, in the life of sanctification, you need a whole life to lose every ground that you are rest on. God's people need a whole life to learn who God is and who they are themselves. Now I have a question. What moved God to save such obstinate sinners like Jonah? Like you and me? Now we can begin to analyze Jonah. But who am I before God? Who are you before God? Do you know by experience you have corrupted your way? Yeah, our mouths are quite ready to talk about things which don't live in our hearts. Preaching about Jonah, no, it's not so easy. But being Jonah by experience, yeah, that's a big deal. We are unwilling to go that way by nature. Unwilling. Yeah, that we are unwilling to go that way that Jonah has gone. Oh, beloved friends, when I think about this, I could wish I had never written one letter. And I had never spoken a word. But when for the umpteenth time, I wanted to stop and forget all about it. It more than once happened that the Lord gave me such a testimony in my soul that I could not but do it. And then the Lord made me say, "What I have written, my heart is in tiding a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Although I have not written nor spoken about one subject which is not worthy of hell and always need to be washed in the blood of Christ." Yeah, I am but a little piece of chalk in God's hands, a minister once said. That is true. And it is a miracle if it is so. For then I do not count. And then is it no longer necessary? It is no longer possible. And I no longer want it. But usually man wants to carry some weight. And then one is happy with oneself. Now Jonah was also happy with nothing. Nothing at all. It was but a gourd. It was only an early dew that quickly passed away. And Jonah had forgotten God. Yeah, he was glad of the gourd. But he did not rejoice in the Lord. He lived far away from communion with God. His heart was hardened. And I must say that if God's true servants can do without communion with God, they become legalistic or free will zealots. And then they become hard men who do not want anybody to be saved except themselves. Now Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to be saved either, but he was happy with the good from which he profited himself. Yeah. If only he was all right. Now then the rest may go. But then the Lord will cause your good to wither, Jonah. Yeah, beloved, we are living in a hard society because the ministry of reconciliation is lacking in church and in state everywhere. Think about it. And when reconciliation is lacking, then people become lovers of self and unfeeling towards others. The love of many shall wax cold. The Bible says, we are living in the middle of a loveless society. Mothers are allow their own children to be broken into pieces by abortionists. Why? Because they lack love themselves. And people without love eventually become brutes. Hitler has justly been a reproach with being a mass murderer. But our own rulers have become mass murderers because they pass bills which make it possible for living babies to be called bloodily broken into pieces in the womb, in the mother's womb. And when the elderly become a burden on society, they are murdered with an injection. And I'm afraid, beloved, I'm afraid God will visit our government and our country, which is judgment. Praying does not seem to avert it. And our country has become an abyss of the sins which were committed in Sodom. It has become a den, a pit of murderers. But there is something much deeper at the root that many a man thinks. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Apostle Peter says. So judgment begins at the house of God, at the people of God. And now we may well say that Jonah was far from his place, but if we think that we have our house in order, we are blind to reality and lack discernment. An Orthodox Reformed or Antinomian, we are all included in the same judgment. But have we ever been brought to embrace this judgment, beloved? Now, however, God does not suffer himself to be stopped by the sin of nation and people. Or do you think that we could limit God in his will and way? Do you think that? To think that is a big mistake. The Lord can move his candlestick somewhere else. When the Jewish people were living in idolatry in the time when Jonah, if Jonah in the time where Jonah lived, when the Jewish people were living in idolatry, the Lord put the candlestick of his word in the midst of Nineveh. Why? To put the covenant people to shame, so that they would be provoked to jealousy. But that went right through judgment. And the idolatry of the Jews resulted in an exile of 70 years. Now somebody says, you were going to talk about Jonah's gourd. Yeah, I have already talked about Jonah's gourd. But I can tell you something about another one. What do you think about the miraculous tree of false united churches that agree with Rome? They all have one thing, namely policy. Policy of divide and rule. And do you know what the Lord Jesus says concerning this matter? Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You can read it here, Matthew 12, verse 25. And do you see the Lord Jesus speaks a clear language and it needs no more explanation? No. It's clear. Let it be a warning for us, beloved, that any human church unification leads to the death. And many churchgoers are weeping about the heap of the church ruins, but we have to become dust. The Lord will raise the cities of Judah out of the dust. And this is biblical language because the Lord has promised so. Now enough of it. Let us return to Jonah. Jonah was sitting under the gourd and he was exceedingly happy with that tree. It was a one day flight. Do you know what I mean? A one day flight. That was that tree, a one day flight. Jonah was happy with one day flight. I don't know other words for it. Jonah took great offense at the repentance of the Ninevites. But the Lord uses the good to break his anger. What does that mean? Now when one takes offense at God's word, the Lord sends a spirit of error. For then one is happy with nothing, and take nothing for all, and all for nothing. And Jonah experienced this through his own guilt, for God provided the worm. God's people are happy with nothing, the worm will soon emerge. And then you may have quacked about your conversion all over the country. But you were not aware that the worms emerged already for the second time. Now Jonah was such a highly converted Jew that he felt offended that God converted heathen. And he will certainly have thought under the good that good is surely a pat on the back for my preaching. But the next morning when he looked against the bare branches, he was offended, and despondency and self-pity made him lie down. And the sun beat upon his head so that he became breathless and cried out, "It is better for me to die than to live." And then along with Job, the prophet Jonah preferred to be strangled rather than to live. And if he would have had a piece of rope, he would have hanged himself on the withered gourd. I believe that. I believe that for sure. Now you may say, "That is queer talk, preacher, for the Lord guards his people against suicide." Of course he does. God guards his people. That does not mean they never reach for the rope. No. I tell you one happening. I once heard of a man who, because of judgment, was close to despair. And he worked at the feed mill factory. And in despair, he jumped into the machine, which likewise grounds the feed. And the moment he jumped into the machine, which would have minched his body, it stopped. And then the everlasting love of God came into him, and he was converted on the spot. And God had no delight in his death, but in his conversion. But be aware, never follow his example though. And do you know what I believe? If Jonah had hanged himself on the tree, do you know what I believe? That the branch which Jonah had hanged himself on would have broken off. Yeah. God guards his children. But Jonah is tired of life. He preferred death to life. Not because with Paul, with the apostle Paul, he had rather depart and be with Christ. No. Jonah was not tired of sin, but he was tired of life because of the withering of the good. And this was godless, for Jonah should have confessed like Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And it says, "In all this Job sinned not." And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be happy for the good?" Verse 9. And the Lord condescended so low to his child and servant by questioning him kindly whether his anger was reasonable. And nowadays Jonah would be thrown from office, but the Lord had divine patience with his servant. But Jonah stuck to his answer, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Now well, Jonah, now God's patience will be exhausted. You have provoked the Lord so much that he has lost patience with you. Yeah, it's a miracle, beloved, that you and I are still alive. For when we compare our lives with Jonah's, would we get off any better than the prophet? And then Jeremiah testifies with all the people of God. And I hear it him say, "It is of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." For do you know what is such a great miracle, beloved? that the Lord is going to answer an insignificant son of man. And God is not accountable to any creature, but here he gives an account of his deeds. And we can read this in the last two verses of chapter 4. And the Lord cannot stoop any lower, so to speak, to convince his child of his unreasonableness. And God's forbearance goes much deeper than Jonah's impatience, because there has been one who took Jonah for his account, both for time and eternity. Do you have that experience, beloved? Or do you live for your own account? Jonah's impatience was eliminated by Christ's passive and active obedience. Do you understand that? But here Jonah got a lesson that silenced him. For the Lord answered, "It is true." But he also called Jonah to answer the question, "Jonah, who has made that good, me or you?" Yeah, there he was. He had no answer to that. But the Lord went on just as he did with Job. Get up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand thee. I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And then Jonah had to be silent. And we can read in Job 38. Job 38, verse 4 and 10. And that also happened with Jonah. For it says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hast laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, where it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? And when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness and swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors." Yeah, that was the Lord saying to Job, but actually also to Jonah. And now, there they were, Job and Jonah, and they were pricked in their hearts. And that is a miracle of free grace, because it is a fruit of Christ's silence. And Christ remained silent when he was slandered. He rested in his love in order not to blame Jonah for his anger. And the Lord was going to reveal to Jonah who he was and who God was. And Jonah judged without mercy, but the Lord judged with mercy. Listen, and he did it not, concerning the judgment of Nineveh. And neither did he reject his servant, for he could have done, because of his behavior, and he did it not. And according to me, Jonah did not have enough time then to admire God because of his forbearance and long suffering. And then he became a beast in the sight of God. And somebody says, "The Bible does not say so, preacher." Now, not as far as the text is concerned, but nevertheless, it does say so. Only one should learn to read this. For Jonah did not contradict God's exhortations. This is a result of revealing grace. And if this has really been revealed to you, you lay your hand upon your mouth. You may always have been a talker, but certainly it is over. And then you travel the earth as a silent man, or a silent woman. And Job was so extremely tired that he was silent when God spoke. Extremely trite. And he says, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred." And Job and Jonah are brothers in grace, that people learn to be silent. And do you know that too, beloved? When God is going to speak everything and everyone must be silent, that happens. When God is going to speak everything and everyone must keep their mouth. And then Jonah had nothing more to say or to pray. His rage had spent itself and he preferred that. And then Christ began to speak in his silence. Do you understand this now, beloved? There are many people who pretended to believe, but have you ever heard this most beloved Lord Jesus speaking in his silence? Child of the Lord, when your rage has spent itself, he at times begin to whisper so sweetly in your heart that your heart is ablaze with love and guilt. For then the Lord comes with the gospel, and he does not reproach you with your sins. Look at Peter when he denies his master in the room of Caiaphas. And the law has been silenced in the sacrifice of Christ, in the blood of Christ. And therefore the people of God have a God who speaks also in his silence. And let me now hear what God the Lord will speak for to his saints who in their hearts him seek. He will proclaim his steadfast word of peace. And the life of faith is spared to God speaking in your soul and to the miracles of his providential leading. And Jonah had the God who spoke. Do you have that God too, beloved? Can you always pray? Can you always speak about your conversion? But what has God said in your life? What he has spoken in your life? In your heart? Tell me. The Lord said, "Jonah, thou hast a pity on the good, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." Jonah, that tree is a free gift of grace. I can give it to you and I can take it away. You did nothing for it, the Lord meant to say here. And the Lord admonished Jonah most sweetly, though. He instructed his servant to convince him of his wrong. And that is God's work. Only God can convince a man and bend his will. And the man is always wrestling against this. Or are you so willing, my hearers? Do you think you are so willing? And do you not know these wrestlings? By nature we are like fish in water. But if God wants to glorify his grace, you will one day get the hook in your nose. And there are many people who pretend to be converted, but most of them don't know about fighting against God. Now you will probably say, "But preacher, that is a great sin, isn't it?" My friend, we do nothing else but fight against God. And a man fights against God the hardest with a pierced face. Even if he walks over the earth with a wry face. And if a preacher only preaches Christ to lost sinners, he is most troubled by people who go to the Lord's table with a fair show outwardly without being washed from their filthiness. And true, Jonah was honest in his anger against God's dealings, for in verse 9 he said, I do well be angry even unto death. And Jonah was so angry that he was on the point of ending his life. But the Lord kisses all that anger away. For he usually strikes his people with love. Do you understand that, my ears? I have at times thought God would chastise me harshly. But then he consumed my heart with his heartbreaking love in Christ. Now, my friends, this I cannot bear. And then my heart must melt and everything snaps inside. When the Lord comes with his heartbreaking love. And I have a friend who in his youth drove a truck with which he delivered meat to his customers every day. And one of his customers was an old lady who always told him about the love of Christ in seeking lost sinners. And at that time, my friend still lived a worldly life, and he had a ready tongue. But when he came to the old lady, his mouth was shut, for he could not bring anything against this love, what she heard telling him. And there she was talking about it again and again. And my friend said, I could not stand it any longer. And when he delivered meat again, he secretly opened the kitchen door, smote the meat on the dresser, and was gone. He could not bear that love. He felt his heart melt, but he didn't want this. And later on, for God stepped in with his love. Later on he did. The Lord arrested him with his love. And do you now see how the Lord brings a man to submit? How? By his conquering love. And that love was also revealed to the Ninevites, so that they repent and humiliated themselves in the dust. Yeah, that happens in true conversion. God changed not his mind when he spared Nineveh. No, 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 no. His decree was his eternal decision, not his command. Not his command that Jonah had preached. No. His decree was his eternal decision. To what? To spare Nineveh. For the Lord says, and should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are most than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. And the Lord took the angry Jonah, so to speak, at his lap, and spoke to him in a gentle way. He says, Jonah, just look all these little children. Just look at all these thousands of babies and unborn lives. Look at all these thousands of sinners that cannot distinguish between their right hand and their left hand. Jonah, have you forgotten your origin? Jonah, have you forgotten I picked you up from the open field, polluted in your own blood, and that nobody pitied you? And then I had compassion on you by free sovereign grace. Now, Jonah, look at those men. Look at all these animals. It's because of your sins are also subject to the same judgment. Jonah, this also applies to you. Should I not spare that vast city that repented at your preaching and is now crying for mercy? Should I not remember my mercy Jonah, how hardened your heart is. And the Lord says, so to speak, come on, my child Jonah, I will instruct thee, and I teach thee in the way thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Yeah. So gently does the Lord deal with his people, for he loves them with an everlasting love. And people of God, when this love is going to flow, all your goods will wither. But then you need no more goods. When God in Christ takes possession of your soul, you don't need to be converted and to be saved anymore. Because then Christ is your conversion. And then God is sufficient for you. And then you don't need a minister, and at that moment no more sermon. For then you are blessed, because Christ is your only lover, and the God of salvation lives within you. And then you don't need to talk anymore, because then God is speaking, and then you may listen and delight yourself in God. Have you no more to say, preacher? Oh yeah. But first, let us sing together Psalter 278, all stanzas. Psalter 278, all stanzas. congregation together, we have been reflecting on the history of Jonah, but may I ask you, have you ever been overcome by God's love? Jonah had to get rid of his good because God wanted to bestow his love on his child. And we should not complicate God so much, for God is the only love to his people. And they can never send themselves out of his love. And you may say, what you are saying now is antinomian. Yes. And that is what most churchgoers think. For they do not have the gospel of Christ, but the law as their moral rule of life, just like the rich young man. But the law curses and condemns, but the gospel pardons. And when you are dead to the law and live through faith of the Son of God, you have an understanding by experience. By nature, nobody can understand these things. Paul says, I'm speaking to them who understand the law. Now, there are not so much people who understand the law. A few preachers. A few. And how disappointing it will be if you think you can appear before God with a decent and upright lifestyle. And somebody says, but should one not live decently? Nobody does. Oh yes, maybe outwardly. But God looks right through your black fine clothes. And do you know what God sees behind your finery? A heart filled with deadly snakes and unclean fowls. And I cannot even express in words how vile our hearts are. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? But did you know the way is much narrower for those who fear the Lord than for those so-called decent and upright people who live by the law? For those who fear the Lord experience the narrow path becomes more narrower. And then there are things in life in which a religious man can live, but those people cannot, because God is nowhere in them. And these may be the things which nothing can be said against. But the point is whether a man can find the life in all these things. And I hear somebody say, but should we always be occupied by these things then? Now I want to say, poor soul, there are times that people want nothing but this, because God takes possession of them. And God cannot do without them. God cannot do without his people. God cannot do without Jonah. And that is why he overwhelmed Jonah with that love which ever makes a hardest heart melt. For the Lord wants to bestow his love on a loveless man or woman, boy or girl. And that is why he leaves an afflicted and poor people that is so poor that they trust in his name. And those people become so poor in themselves that when God withholds his love for some time, they are at a loss. And go over the earth saying nothing. And then they go their way weeping and sighing. Why does the Lord do that? To draw his people nearer, closer to him, so that they hunger and thirst after Christ's righteousness. And that people hunger and thirst after his communion, because they tasted it. And at times, they desire to depart and to be with Christ, so that they sometimes cry out, God of life, O when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? And these reconciled souls are the poor in spirit. And do you know, beloved, who are really poor in spirit? Who at the deadly hour have been cut off from all self-righteousness, and in Christ have received a divine right to be with the Lord forever. Now that are the poor in spirit. They are justified as an ungodly. And these souls are hunger and thirsty after Christ's righteousness. These souls become so poor because they have tasted the riches of his loving kindness, so that they consider worthless anything that is not God in Christ for the rest of their lives. And then you do not see any value in the seeming happiness of all the religious goods, because you have eaten from the apple tree Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is mine beloved among the sons. And I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste, the bride said. Read it in the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. And why did the Lord allow Jonah's gourd to wither? So that Jonah, with the bride in the Song of Solomon, would long again for the shadow of Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And his shadow protects the soul of his turtle dove against the wild beast, that spare nothing. And the Lord gathers his people under the skirt of his cape. He covers his people with his righteousness. And his sheep are always safe, for he is the good shepherd who leads his sheep in the green pastures of his everlasting testimony. And the mangy sheep are welcome with him. And the blackest sheep are washed and made white in his blood. And then they become black again, because in the way of sanctification the Sun of Righteousness will shine upon them. What is sanctification? That you become black because of the Sun of Righteousness will shine upon you. For when I see Christ, I become as black as the night, because he is the light of the world in and for me. And Jonah became black because of the Sun of Righteousness. And that is why he, the good, had to wither. That is why the good had to wither. The earthly sun made Jonah pant for breath, so that the way should be paved for the Sun of Righteousness. And Jonah became silent because of the divine light that shone forth from his countenance upon him. And he could join the bride in the Song of Solomon and say, "Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me." And then the Lord whispered in his heart, "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the cave of the rock, in the secret places of the stars. And let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. And thy countenance is comely." Because Jonah means dove. Now what a miracle. You wouldn't have thought that, would you? When God reminded Jonah of this, he felt ashamed towards God and man, for he was no dove, but a bird of prey for the Ninevites. And then he stole off secretly. And he will certainly have felt ashamed toward the Ninevites, for the Sun of Righteousness has shone upon him. And then he became so black inwardly that he could not. but think that he could not but think that he was also black outwardly, like the Ethiopian were. And beloved, when you get to know how black you are inwardly, you feel ashamed towards God and men. And then you will say to your wife, dear, go to the baker because I dare not appear in the street any longer. And you will say to your son, David, you take my bike to the bicycle shop, for that is such a monster. And then I hear Jonas say, Ninevites, do not open the gates for me now, for I am going out of the camp bearing his reproach. For the Son of Righteousness has looked upon me. And Ninevites, you are better than I am, for I am a murderer, a fool and a wicked rebel who deserves nothing but hell. And do you know, beloved, what Jonah said? Lord, let me just declare thy praise for some time, then I shall go to hell myself. Yeah, God's people are made willing through free grace. For the Lord does not want slaves. He makes willing what is unwilling. Because it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. And thou hast the dew of thy youth. And when the Lord comes again in the clouds of heaven, he will have a most willing people, because of his willing Son. And this is his work, beloved, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow before him, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And then there are times that I desire only one thing, namely to proclaim his praise the rest of my life. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life, to the God of my life. And oh, if only I could provoke you to jealousy, my hearers, for to service of God is such a sweet service. Christ's commandments are not grievous, because his commandment is love. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The Lord is actually said to his servant of Jonah, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. And to Peter the Lord did not say, Simon, you should have become meek by now, did he? Do not be silly. In sanctification, the Lord does not come with the law, but with the gospel. He comes with himself. Learn of me, for I am meek, not you. The Lord says, I am meek in your place, instead of you. Wonderful, isn't it? The Lord speaks and gives. He teaches and converts. He seeks and finds. He finds and saves. Christ is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Sheep that have no sanctification, but an sinned life. But they are holy in him, without a spot. Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, we have a wonderful God. A sweet, dear Lord Jesus. And somebody says, but we must live according to God's commandments, mustn't we? But we don't, do we? Every day we steal whatever we can steal in words, deeds and thoughts. Maybe not in public, but spiritually for sure. You say, but the law is a rule of life, isn't it? Now, my friend, how much progress have you made already? Shall I tell? I give Titus of all that possess. I give everyone his due. I am a poor and an humble man, and I really do not hurt a fly. Well, that sounds good. But it is no more than a rich young man's life. And if you die like that man, you are doomed, because the rich young man has no more than the works of the law. And if you live as and if you live and die as the poor Lazarus, you will live forever, because Lazarus has no more than gospel. And his sanctification was Christ. Understand that? And it came to pass that the beggar died, and it was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. You may ask, what is gospel then? Listen, I am a monster, Christ my lamp. I am a hell, Christ my heaven. I am a fool, Christ my wisdom. I am a false light, Christ my light. I am a lost sheep, Christ my shepherd. I am a slave sin, Christ my fountain of salvation. I am a beggar, Christ my redeemer. I am a wicked man, Christ my righteousness. I am a dead sinner, a rebel, Christ my life. I am an unholy man, Christ my holiness. I am a naught, Christ my all. Amen, dear Lord Jesus. And I hear you say, but I also want to something through love, to do something to love. Have you already started, beloved? I still have to begin. I still have to find the beginning. Unfortunately, for Christ is the Alpha. For me. And I will never attain to it. Unfortunately, for Christ is also the Omega. For me. So being saved is doing nothing and leaning on the righteousness of Christ. Also in sanctification. And I hear you say, but this sounds too easy for me. Yeah, if God works, is it easy? Because God does the impossible. And then fortunately, nothing of me counts. I don't need to contribute anything to this, and neither do I want to. For God is a God of complete salvation in Christ. And Christ wants to do everything, or he do nothing. He is a complete savior for a completely lost sinner. Here, for more than Jonah is here. And this is Christ. For he is the fountain of life. He is mine, and I am his. He in me, and I in him. In this way God's people travel to the heavenly Jerusalem. So be it. Amen. And for at least let us sing Psalm 108, stanzas 1. Psalm 108, verse 1. My heart is steadfast, O my God. And I will sing unto thy lout. Yes, I will make a melody and give my thanks, O Lord, to thee. And what follows? Psalm 108, verse 1.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for hearing the word. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has said to the congregation. And be the after preacher of the preached word, O Lord. Take away all things on our side and bless Thy work and word to all of us. And we have heard the story of Jonah in 8 sermons. But the book of Jonah is full of the Lord Jesus, full of grace and mercy. Yea, full of Thee, O Lord. Open our blind eyes that we may see the wonders of Thy hand. And what Thou hast done in Thy sovereign dealings and understandable mercy to Nineveh, we need exactly the same. But if Thou go Thy way with us, O Lord, Thou will fill us, Thou will find us fleeing from Thy presence like Jonah. O Lord, we are not so willing. We are the same as Jonah, and we have fled from Thee in paradise already, and we have no will to return to Thee, no power at all. But Thou art an almighty God, O Lord, Thou hast saved Jonah from his flight from Thee, and Thou art mighty to save us in our race to eternal destruction, and that we may receive Jonah's preachers out of Thy hand to preach judgment and free grace, sovereign grace, and the same revival like happened among the heathen of Nineveh, O Lord, that it may happen to us. Lord, Thou art a merciful God in Christ, but Thou art righteous, and let us embrace Thy judges to declare Thee free, like the murderer on the cross did, and instead of expecting judgment, he received free grace in Thy eyes. O Lord, remember us the coming week. Keep us from sin and accidents. We pray Thee in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.